morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, and I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes or so. I have another success story from Pittsfield, and I mean that. One of our, you know, we interviewed some folks in the past, Michael Fabrizio, Diana, her name slipped my mind for a minute. But they're all, and today I have with me Chelsea Lesage, Pittsfield High School, Pittsfield School System graduate, it just in New York, making her own feature film. She stars. We're going to talk about what COVID meant, how she stayed and continued to make success while COVID, there was nothing happening. Chelsea is multi-talented, and I'll say that.
Thanks, Bill.
She's a model. She's an actress. She's a performer. And I guess when COVID hit, you had to depend on all of those.
Absolutely. And none were
awesome. Before I forget, the other lady I interviewed, she's going to be starring or has starred in, at the Colonial, Diana Quetti.
And Diana, we grew up playing basketball together, and then she and I meet up in the city for coffee every once in a while still.
Well, she cut an album.
She cut an album, Diana.
It's called Believe. And it's just really amazing. So I guess one of the reasons too, Chelsea, I used Diane, I used Michael Fabrizio to illustrate there's a lot of young people who want to do what you do, but they don't realize that it isn't an overnight thing.
No, definitely not. Lots of work, lots of perseverance, lots of rejection. It's all a part of the job.
And you, again, give us 30,000 feet. You're at high school or wherever you started in drama. Tell us what launched you.
Well, I grew up playing music and basketball, and, you know, eventually chose music over basketball. Thank God, because my body breaks so easily. I was threatened by sophomores at Taconic High School, who were my friends when I was a freshman, to audition for the Fall Festival of Shakespeare through Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, or they would pull my pants down in the cafeteria at lunch.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I got my start, because I was terrified. So I started in the Fall Festival, got into musicals, realized I could sing and play a bunch of music. So that was it from there. But it's been a wild ride ever since. I still work with Shakespeare and Company, and if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here. Bill Chapman, who is my favorite, and Santa Broder, who are my favorite conductors and band. And then, of course, Jess Pesetto getting me into musical theater, making me laugh. I was a really timid little girl. And, you know, I reconnect with my teachers from Stearns Elementary School, and they're like, you're not the same person.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because a few years back at the old Taconic, I interviewed a young lady who said the same thing. If it wasn't for Shakespeare and Company and her friends, now I don't know if they threatened her, but getting her into it, she said, I would never be able to have come on this program. She said, I was the epitome of a wallflower. Yep. I was shy. I was frightened. I had a lot of anxiety. And now with theater, I have the ability to be a presence. And I've learned so much. And, you know, to hear you say kind of the same thing. And, of course, I think Shakespeare and Company, Alan Burroughs, I consider him a friend. What he's done for Shakespeare and Company is just amazing. And Shakespeare and Company has done for so many kiddos through the year.
The education department, I think, is unparalleled. And I think they should bring the festival across the world. In fact, they might be trying to do that. So that'd be really, really cool. Really great to still be a part of that community.
Yeah.
Really, really, really grateful. I don't think that. Yeah, I could list you 100 actors I know who live in New York and are trying to do what I'm doing now that wouldn't be doing it if it weren't for the Fall Festival. So.
Right, right. And, you know, when you went to New York, You went there with your eyes wide open, knowing it was going to be a challenge.
Oh, yes.
Was it more than a challenge than you anticipated?
Well, I realized my freshman year, I got severely homesick. I came home every weekend. I came back to Pittsfield every weekend. The really rigorous program. I went to Marymount Manhattan College, moved at 18.
Yeah.
My parents told me they wouldn't let me do it if they didn't think that I could do it. So thanks, Mom and Dad. They're the best. And then, yeah.
They really are. I adore both of them.
Yeah. I love you guys. The peanut. No, my dog is trying to jump off my balcony. I'm in the office right now. Don't. Can you not do that? Thank you. The she's like, I'm sick of hearing you talk about yourself, Bob. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's very rigorous. There's so many people who look like you, act like you. People who the rejection thing when you're so young. I mean, being a teenager, not being a child actor, really per se. You kind of get, you have to dive in, you know, leap in the net will appear is the phrase I learned at Shakespeare Company that I use all the time. And I got really lucky. You know, they say that it's all, a lot of it's about networking and who you know. And that's the truth. I was like, no, it has to be about talent. Yes, doe-eyed Chelsea in the big city.
Well,
yes.
That's in any career field.
Yeah.
Networking is, and I try to tell young people this that are getting into any field, networking, keep in touch with your friends, and let people know what you're doing, because all in all, especially in your career, in most career fields, if they're looking for a specific, they'll reach out to somebody they know.
Yeah, or in like with some union laws, you know, with SAG-AFTRA and Actors Equity and all of that, you have to sometimes you have to audition every role, even if you have the idea in mind. Like I'm casting a pilot as a producer right now that you know, some of our we actually went and we're gonna cast one of our friends, and then someone in our chemistry reads our final callbacks who came and auditioned for us just blew us out of the water and changed the entire cast around.
Wow.
Yeah. You never know. But, you know, as someone who's a director and a producer as well, someone who sits behind the table as well as being in front of it, that, you know, the generally casting directors have an idea of what the client is looking for in the first 30 seconds of your audition. So you can give the best audition of your life. And sometimes it won't matter. But that's just, again, a part of the of the game. It's a part of your job is the rejection process and learning how to, as an actor specifically, keep yourself open and vulnerable to auditions that you need to play another human character, but also build this wall personally when you get rejected all the time. Yeah.
I've said, and I believe this with my whole heart, actors are some of the most resilient people I know, because you go into an audition, you give it your best, your heart and soul, and the phone never rings. Or it rings and says, we've selected somebody else. But that, and I think for though, and again, the purpose of this is educational and informational. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in becoming an actor, actress, singer, dancer, whatever in the entertainment field, Chelsea just gave you some great information, and that is build a thick skin, because you're, unlike your parents, not everybody's going to embrace you and tell you you're terrific.
Yeah, and if you have parents that embrace you and tell you you're terrific and mean it like my parents do, consider yourself lucky, because not everyone has even that.
That's, I worked with violent youthful offenders. No one knows any better about good parents and bad parents and no parents.
Right.
For the kiddos that are in Shakespeare now,
mm-hmm.
or next year, you're mm-hmm. in high school.
Mm-hmm.
How can they prepare themselves if they want this kind of life?
Yeah.
Because I know when you went down there, you were prepared, I believe. I talked with your mom one time, and you know, it's not an easy road to hoe.
Oh God, no. Oh God, no. And I can't tell you how many people quit. And a lot of times it's just, you know, it's too much. You know, they call it the grind for they're pounding the pavement for a reason, especially in Manhattan. Like, you gotta be persistent, and you gotta not be too hard on yourself, but always be learning. I think that's the big thing too. Always be learning, always be reading, always be a sponge and absorb everything that's going on around you, because that's just gonna help you grow not only as a person but as an actor. But it's a lot of hard work. Like with modeling, I kind of got a lucky break and met someone who kind of scouted me.
Oh, cool.
But it's like but if it weren't for all of my acting and learning who I was, I don't think that they would have seen this like bright personality that is me. Because they kind of go hand in hand. They're very different jobs, but you can bring skills or skill set from each one of them into the other. Yes.
If you run across any agents that are looking for old, fat, bald models, call, have them call me. You got my number.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny because I think you're the third person who said exactly that this week.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, there's a lot more of us than there are of you, old, fat, bald guys, that is.
I but, don't know. There are so many people on this planet.
What have you found? Let's take it piece by piece. When you first got there, and again, you're kind of teaching and preaching with me. When you first got there, what was your first steps to get into the business, get into modeling? I think that's important for kiddos to think about, and their parents to be encouraging.
First steps, encouraging parents. No, and if you don't have parents, just having this dream and not being afraid to dream. You know, worst case scenario, you consider that you failed, it doesn't work out. It's not really failing, it's a life experience, and therefore I like
exactly.
to positive in a positive manner. I just booked a job and then they got a more famous redhead and like and I lost the job, you know. And I was like, there's a reason I didn't get that contract. Like I knew that they were holding out for some reason. So stuff like that just happens all the time. Hurt me for like 30 seconds. It shows that I still have feelings. And then I just as my dad says, muddled right along. The first steps, I had a great education at Marymount Manhattan College, like through Shakespeare Company, through Taconic and through Marymount. I really got very lucky. Very rigorous. They would put people on probation or give them juries where we had to audition for like our peers and see if we were worthy to stay in the program all the time. The list down, we started with like 200 people in the BFA acting program. We graduated with 19 of us.
Wow.
So it's very rigorous. You got to learn how to be a starving actress and be happy to do it. You know, I remember my parents gave me $1,000 for spending money every semester. How did I make that work? Now I'm as a grown up, I'm like, how did I ever spend only
$1,000
in New York?
Yeah.
Because this, I was lucky. Lucky I had my parents, I guess, with that. But
poor people go out to dinner in New York at the right restaurant. That can be $1,000.
I know. I mean, I know. I dealt with that actually yesterday. But it's fine. It's like now that's a part of the job. You know, all networking, because I was trying to woo a new agent.
Oh,
but yes, but first steps, networking, making friends, meeting people, finding your support system in your home away from home if home is not the Big Apple. And really being willing to listen to the people who are teaching you, because they are teaching you and are qualified to teach you for a reason. Of course, everyone has professors they don't like. I did. And everybody does, but they have something to teach you. And listening to them. And I remember being that young and thinking that, you know, I had it all figured out. Like, oh, I'm an actor now. I'm going to do this. And then I had no idea who I was. You're a kid. You're still a kid, 18, 19. Yeah. So because I like let go of my little hard shell of like, they don't know better than I do. They do. So have your ears open at all times, because there might be a taxi right behind you that'll hit you, but also because you'll learn constantly. Have your ears open at all times.
Embrace life. I'm not an actor. I write various things, chapters.
Oh, for Bill. You're somehow an actor. I know you are. Don't lie.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. But seriously, you have to stay with it. And mm-hmm. I've known, and I'm not going to mention some, I'm sure you know some, they've off to New York to be a star. And 4 months later, they're back home working at Wendy's. It's a process, but it's also an internal desire and dedication to be a success.
Yeah.
And you really people need to know that.
It's true. It is. Nothing is ever going to be handed to you in this industry. I know so many people who had like one big hit in the and then they expected like people to be falling all over them, casting them, making them the next like Bobby De Niro or something. It doesn't work like that. I have like, you know, A-list celebrity friends who they're just like, yeah, we just expected to get this call. We didn't get this call. We're perfect for this role. We would have auditioned. So it's like, it's not just handed to you on a silver platter at all. You have to constantly be hustling, listening, reacting to everything in your given environment, and networking again, and always be learning. That's the big thing.
How do you find out about openings, roles, or whatever? Is there a...
I have a really good team of agents and managers right now.
Okay.
They take care of me, but you should always be, and they say this too, you should always be submitting yourself. There are certain websites that are New York based that, or LA based. I'm working in LA quite a bit. And there's a thing called, if you're leaning towards more film and television, it's called Actors Access Breakdown Services. These, you have to pay for all of them, but they are an investment, just like getting your own business cards, getting your own headshots, getting your own website. They're a part of like our professors. They made us like budget for these things. And then Casting Networks is my favorite website. Commercial. Oh. I've gotten some of my biggest commercials in my life through that. Oh. And I've gotten them through myself, like by myself. I applied for this job for Match.com in Buenos Aires, booked it on my own before I had a manager. You never know. And then Backstage is the big one for theater, Backstage.com. And it's like $20 a month or something like that. They are definitely tools, and they have, you know, guidebooks as to what agents are looking for people and what classes are open right now and what prices. It's kind of like your Bible. Websites.
So it's an industry. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's not the proper term, but it is an industry. It's like being a doctor. You got to belong to certain groups, and you got to know who's who, and you got to have the credentials. But now, when the modeling world, that when I saw you, your mom, of course, she's very proud of you. We checked out. How did you get into modeling? I mean, you're a beautiful person, but you were there was it to supplement income?
Yeah, in a way. But like, again, people think that modeling is just like this easy, breezy, beautiful life. I did just work for CoverGirl, actually. That's their slogan. I was like, why is that in my head? But then, no, it's like almost harder than acting. It's impossible. Like, you don't just get into modeling unless it's like some sleazy, like, really like red flag Craigslist ad. Are you going to book money right away? No, you work for free. You trade for pick, TFP, and you work with photographers who are trying to build their portfolio and yours. No, I didn't book like $10,000 jobs right off the bat. It is not a way to supplement your income from the get-go. You have to work just like an actor, building up your book, working with the right agencies, and meeting fellow models, hitting up. Thank God for social media, as much as I hate it. You can directly message designers you want to work for. I don't recommend that you do that, but you know, people trying to like start out. But I remember growing up, everyone told me I should be a model, like the lunch ladies at Stearns Elementary School, because I was 5'8" by age 10. And I thought that models were like vapid and stupid, and that it was a stupid job. And was I wrong? They are some of the most brilliant, hardworking and women that I have ever met in my entire life. And I'm so proud to be a part of that community. I worked for some really cool brands recently, like Sephora. I get my first billboard in Times Square in July.
So wow, you got to take a picture of it and email it to me.
I will, of course.
I'm sure your mother will take 400 or 500 pictures of it. But
you'll be able to see me in the Ulta Beauty in Pittsfield.
Yeah. Oh, when's that?
July.
Oh, cool.
July. Yeah. So did some really cool campaigns recently. You can see me on billboards for like 4 different brands now throughout the world, which makes me really happy. And
wow. I am so proud of you. So I'm so happy for you. And now I have to interject here. Madeline, she's made it.
Hi, Madeline.
Yeah, I'm sure she's had some blessings on you too, because she thought the world of your mom, as we all did. The you know, before we go to break, I just think it's, to me, it's important again to reinforce, you're only going to have one life.
Mm-hmm.
If your dream is to be a model, an actor, a steam fitter, a carpenter, I don't cop. Might want to rethink the cop thing. But
yeah, no.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was, and I wouldn't do it again. Not now. But I would just say to you, listen to what Chelsea, she's paid her dues, and she's still paying her dues. I think that's the other thing, and you nailed it early on in this conversation. You have a big role, a big starring part. That doesn't guarantee you'll have another one. You've got to work for it, work at it, and refine your skills.
Yeah, and, always.
Yeah, I had, you know, Rocco Sisto. He's
Yeah.
Well, he lives right around the corner when he's home.
We used to be neighbors in the East Village, too.
Yeah, well, he's still down there, I think. He back and forth. Mm-hmm. But he's one of the things he said that is stuck in my mind, and you're talking to a guy who doesn't remember where he parks the car, was that you constantly got to be challenging yourself and refining your skills.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. I'm like, this conversation is making me remember. I'm like, Chelsea, you need to get into another class. I mean, you talked to Meryl Streep was talked down and been like, I need to get into a new acting class. You always need to be learning new things. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty much in today's world, Chelsea, that's pretty much with almost every career field. It's changing so fast.
It is. And stuff is even tougher now because, like, post-COVID, but we'll get more into that if you'd like.
Yeah, when we come back from the break. Post-COVID, just before we get to the break, how did you survive COVID, especially in New York? I mean, there was nothing.
Well, there was absolutely nothing. I worked for Stag and Lion Theater Company. We were, we all got shut down. We were doing a Punching Judy, Taming of the Shrew, where I was directing all the women and the creative director and founder, Josh Cohen, was directing all the men. And we got shut down 2 days before opening when they shut down the city. And then I went home to go see my mom, actually, and I broke my leg at Guido's on Pittsfield Lenox Road and wound up living with her for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yes. thank God for that woman. Then went back to the city around July. This happened in March, like after I could walk again. And everything at Stag and Lion we made into a movie because it was easier to get around SAG-AFTRA than it was Actors Equity. So we were supposed to do Macbeth, and we made it Macbeth, a Cursed Film, which you can watch on 14 different streaming services right now. I play Lady Macbeth and I direct it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Say it again for the people, and we'll say it when we come back from the break, too. Yeah. We're a morning show. People are running out. They're putting kids on a bus. They're getting in a car, whatever. We will tell you when we come back from the break. We'll tell you again how you can stream this and watch it. Support our, again, I have to say this. We're in a tough budget year.
Yeah.
We've heard that and heard that and heard that. But I want to say this. I'm having these wonderful people on to illustrate how important every part of education is, to include drama, Shakespeare and company, band, football. Yes, they're all important because they're part of some kiddo's dream or some kiddo's future.
Yeah.
So before we take out the machete to start chopping and cutting, let's use a scalpel and really look. What are we cutting and why are we cutting it? We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. we're also simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. And I am a very old man with a very, very fading memory. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Support for closed captioning on PCTV is brought to you by the Feigenbaum Foundation, with additional support from the Pittsfield Commission on Disabilities.
Hello, Phil Tierney here, the host of Berkshire Jazz, where I play all the young tigers and old lions of jazz every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. Join me Saturday at 8. And if you know someone who likes and enjoys this great American classical music, tell them about us. Spread the word. Jazz is alive and well on WTBR 89.7. Thanks for listening.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. I'm really happy to have with me someone who's following their dream. Really and truly, I had Diana Quetti on. Now I'm having Chelsea Lesage. And Chelsea just got an award where in the UK?
Yeah, I just got back from London, went to York. I worked for Stag & Lion, worked for the company I work for in New York. They found our Much Ado About Nothing on YouTube, where I play Beatrice, and this great artist named Ian, I can get you his information, I don't want to mispronounce his last name, and Rodolphe Fonto, who's very nice Frenchman, were painting, doing a series of paintings of Shakespeare plays. And they went up at the University of York, and I'm Beatrice in Much Ado in Lucrece and the Rape of Lucrece, that epic poem that a lot of people don't know about that Shakespeare wrote. And I got to go there and perform, and they honored me with like work in Shakespeare mind with this beautiful oil painting of myself as
wow.
Beatrice. Which was really, really, really cool. I mean, it was freezing, but I had a great experience.
Yeah.
So kudos to you. It's such an honor.
I was stationed in the UK for a while, and I can tell you, it looks nice till you walk outside, and then it's damp and freezing cold. And yeah.
All I know. Yes. Yeah. But it was good to work there for a bit. Had a couple photo shoots.
Good. So the as we go back and we rethink and just reassemble your career. You got to New York. What was your first gig?
What was my first gig? Well, in my program, we weren't allowed to work outside of college.
Wow.
Except for in the summertime. So my first gig was actually at Minerva Arts Center in North Adams in between my freshman and sophomore year, and I played Hamlet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I played Hamlet, and that was a crazy experience. And then the same year, I went back and I worked for Stag & Lion for the first time, playing Olivia in Twelfth Night. So that's how long I've been with them. I'm 32 now.
So, wow.
I was 19, I think. And now
I'm 32 years old.
Yes.
right here. 32, probably more.
32, yes. I'm playing a 19-year-old right now off Broadway, so it's like it's...
Well, great! Well, you see, that's the level of talent you bring. No, really. No, just to kind of caveat that, I remember Deborah Jo Rupp. You know Deborah Jo, great. She played it like a younger person in a play here in Pittsfield at the old VFW, I call it. I don't know what they call it. But... it's Barrington Stage Company, the Blatt. Is it the Blatt Theater? I don't know.
I know what it's called. The one on Linden Street.
Yeah, the old VFW. Well, you're not old enough to remember the old VFW that's been out of clothes since. But now, when you go and audition.
Yeah.
Give us a 30,000 foot. When you, Chelsea, go into an audition, tell us what it's like.
Well, I mean, what it's like. I mean, it's for a lot of artists, it's the most terrifying minute and a half of their lives every single time. It's again another part of thick skin, and you know that's why they have audition classes. to kind of build you up so you know what to expect. Things to expect. There will be a bunch of people you may never see again behind a table judging everything that you do. That is their job. You are there to do. You know, simple protocol, what I've learned the best to do about auditions, you say hi, you greet everyone, you hand them your headshot, your resume, you slate, which is saying, hi, my name is Chelsea Lesage, and I'll be auditioning for the role of Beatrice in Much Ado About Nothing, and then go right into the monologue or the song or whatever it is. Once you're done, you say thank you, and you leave. That's it. And then you let it go. You let it go. Speaking of Frozen.
Yeah.
And and then just leave the audition in the door with you. If you focus on it or think, am I sitting in on their desk, then it's just going to eat away at you. And I know a lot of like grown up actors who are twice my age, but it's still the hardest part for them of their job is auditioning. But you just got to back pocket, let it go. Trust yourself, let it go.
And do you have to, like say Broadway, just say, let's pick Broadway. Do you have to audition for every part, no matter who you are, or do they call you up and say, hey, Chelsea, I got this part, I want you to play it?
Well, I'm hoping that'll happen for Broadway at some point. Like, I hate how Broadway is doing the whole, they just bring in celebrities, and because they do that. But that's like the rare exception. I have gotten calls for off-Broadway shows where I have not had to audition. That is such a rarity. I believe that people should audition all the time, no matter who.
Make you a better person.
Makes you a better person. I actually, one of my funniest, my first Broadway audition with them, Phantom of the Opera, right? And I'm not an opera singer, and it was really cool. I got a call back because Sierra Boggess was playing Christine at this time, and she's one of my favorite Broadway stars. She was like Ariel in The Little Mermaid on Broadway and stuff like that. And I had a really good first audition because I'm not a soprano, so I made it work. And then I came back, and the callbacks were on the stage at the Majestic, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I was like pooping myself, but they said I did really well. But they looked at me and they said, "Have we seen you before?" I was like, "Yeah, I was just here last week." Like, you know, you're looking for an understudy for Sierra, and they were like, "No, you were a foot shorter last week." I was like, "Nope, no, I was not. I wasn't."
Yeah, I didn't grow a foot in a week. No,
she's 5'2". I was like, "I'm aware. That's why I'm surprised that you called me back too." Like,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
5'11". So like that was just really funny that the audition worked, but I wasn't right for it because they mistakenly thought I was shorter than I am. So you never know.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that out. You never know what they're looking for.
Yeah, you never know. And sometimes you can change what the producers or the writers are looking for. Like I know there's a show. There's a show you can buy on Blu-ray and DVD. The first season, the second season is coming out this year, called 21st Century Demon Hunter. That kind of gave me what like notoriety I have. It's
okay.
It's about a family of demon hunters, and I play Julie, the protagonist. There's a book that it's based on too, and I auditioned for something else, and the writer of 21st Century Demon Hunter was behind the table. And I didn't book that job, but the way I put my chair down in the audition room reminded him of the lead of his book. So to be on,
write that down.
Yeah. Oh, you will not like it. My parents won't watch it because it's very bloody. The character Julie cares more about like sex and drugs and rock and roll than she does actually killing demons. But it's quite funny. And the next season's coming out. Yeah, my parents will not watch it. Don't let kids watch it. And then I just suggested, hey, do you ever think about making a series out of this? Because it'd be really, and that's like just place, right time. How I got my first like big TV show. And you might be able to find it on Amazon Prime too.
Okay. The whole world that you now live in, well, worlds, I have to, it's plural, worlds. You're in the film world, the Broadway world, the live theater world, the modeling world. What's the toll? I can tell you from my career, there's a toll to every career.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. I don't know. I believe it.
But you know, I wouldn't trade a single second of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think going, you know, now I'm at the stage in life where I'm reminiscing, and reminiscing and burying colleagues. I'm almost on a monthly basis, but there's just something about when you do a good job and you know you've done a good job, that fulfilling and inspiring, that keeps you going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, everyone has off performances or on performances, but it's also the community around you.
Yeah.
You know, and 100%, 100%. I have so many little, I have two production companies of my own now, which
Whoa.
Is, yeah, it's great. One with Charles D. Lincoln, who wrote 21st Century Demon Hunter, and our upcoming horror movie, Bishop's Cove, that's coming out soon, which is really exciting. We just had a really good, successful New York theatrical release in theaters.
Oh, cool. I'm so happy. What's the name of that one again? I got to
go. Bishop's Cove. I play the demon in that one. I've somehow fallen into the horror community, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Bishop's Cove.
Cove. C-O-V.
Oh, Cove. Okay.
And Vincent. Can I put you down? This is Peanut. Say hi to Bill.
Hi, Peanut. How are you?
She's very needy. And now I'm covered in dog hair. Yes.
Well, that's a, I'd be happy to be covered in any hair. But...
In fact,
when you get yours trimmed, save me the clippings. I'm weaving a wig.
Okay, great. That sounds perfect. Yeah,
something to do next winter. The you're sitting there, you get all these, you have agents and all the other methods. How do you say, you know what, I'm Chelsea, I'm going to try out for this role? How do you select the roles to audition for?
You don't. They do it for you. You can submit to audition for a role, but only then do the client, the casting director, and like the whole production team have to decide to bring you in and let you audition.
Well, how do you do that? How do you decide on I'm going to submit?
There's a character description, right? It'll tell you what they're looking for. And if you fit it, or you think, you know, if you think that it's something that you could actually book and not waste your time or their time, then...
Yeah.
Either tell your agent or you submit through one of those websites. And then if you hear back now, since COVID, a lot of people are happy about a lot of things are self-tape requests as opposed to having to go to the physical room. So I've already done three of those this morning.
Whoa.
Oh yes. It's like, I got really lucky where I do them almost every day, but it's a pain in the butt though, but it's all a part of the job. I prefer to be in the room with people, like with that pilot that one of my companies, Golden Grand Piano Productions, with Dan Ginden, that we had chemistry reads in the room. Just so we can get a sense of who we're going to be working with. And we wound up, we just offered the roles to the people we're going to shoot in July. Very excited.
Wow.
They submit, we put up our casting director, Tom O'Hare, put up the casting notice. They submitted to it. And then we went through and selected who we wanted to audition. So that's how...
Yeah. Yeah. I guess for the viewers, for the listeners, for the kids or the adults, college age kids that want to pursue this type of life, learn from someone who's living it, you know, on a daily basis. And I think it's fair to say it's not all glamorous.
Oh, God, no. Oh God, no. I mean, like, no, no. It's not, like I was just covered head to toe in blood on a movie I just wrapped in Atlanta.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Very exciting. That is called Devour, and that will be out around October. That is like probably the biggest budget movie I've ever done.
Wow.
And it's an all female heavy metal band, and we're all vampires.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I think I met a couple of them through my career, but, yeah,
it's kind of like, going to be the Wizard of Oz meets Scooby-Doo with heavy metal.
Yeah. Chelsea, I'll tell you. But you know, if you hadn't followed this path, what would you be doing?
No clue. I can't do anything else. That's what one of my teachers at Shakespeare and Company once said. If you can do anything else, do it. And I was like, well, nope.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I'd be doing. Maybe working with animals.
Yeah.
For more music. Yeah. We just joined a band, though. I just joined a band that's actually Berkshire based. It's called The Love Thugs. And I get to sing and play some music with that. We just cut an album. It's not out yet.
Oh,
So
wow. Let me know.
you're welcome.
Let me know when it comes out.
Very good. I mean, I have copies of it. I can just mail you one. Or when I'm in the, I'll be in the Berkshires next week for a job, and I'll just come and bring you one.
Okay. Yeah, we'll catch up. But I mean, the thing is, I promote Pittsfield and Berkshire. Number one, Pittsfield. Number two, Berkshire County. And Pittsfielders, regardless of what they do. And more and more, what brought this about, just to kind of know this, I picked themes, and somebody was just telling me how, well, their grandson's going to go to New York and make it big on Broadway. And I'm thinking, really? Well, okay. Does he know anybody there? No, he's going to meet people. And you did it. And so, and Diana, you have done it. You've gone, you've left mom and dad, you've gone, you're big girls now, and you're on your, and you're successful, but it's still nipping and tucking at it every day. I
Oh
don't
yeah.
care what career field you're in.
Yeah, the scalpel is a really good analogy. And then you said nipping and tucking. I see what you're doing, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like going through things with a fine-tooth comb, every single
That's a
day.
different dog. Don't try to fool me. I know that.
This is Gertrude. Say hi, Gert. Say hi.
I'm old, but I'm not that old. I can tell the difference in dogs. The
It's funny, and I have a cat too, a one-eyed cat, but she won't come up and say
so what do your parents think?
I think they're proud of me. Like I sent them the
Oh, I
article.
know they're proud of you.
They headlined with the girl or with the show I'm opening in 2 weeks from yesterday off Broadway called "Girls Who Walked on Glass." I'm making the move to girl. I have to put you down. I'm sorry, sweetheart. Good girl. She's just so heavy. More dog hair. Yay! We headlined Broadway World and Playbill, and my face is on the poster. So my dad like printed it out and hung it at MCLA and like all this.
Oh, wow. Wow. How cool. You'll have to send me a copy of it. Email me a copy of it. 'Cause just to, yeah. You know why? Because it's so good for people in Pittsfield to see there's a lot of talent here, and the talent goes and the talent comes back. We got Michael Fabrizio coming to do a, you'll appreciate this, for Berkshire Theater Group. He's coming to do a concert for the summer camp. To
Oh, that's
bring,
cool.
send kids to the summer camp.
That's great.
Yeah, you know why? Because you know and I know some of those kids would never even see the inside of a theater.
I know. Devastating. Devastating. The arts in Pittsfield are so like something that keeps, I think, the community together, and getting rid of it or slashing it is an abomination. And I don't know. You let me know what I can do to help fix
Yeah,
that because.
well, you are. You're on. The people who are seeing you now. Will being interviewed. We'll see you again, and when it all comes to fruition, education, in my opinion, and everybody knows this, but I have to say it because the federal government, the views and opinions expressed on this program are under mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti and the mayor's office, Peter White and the city council, and or the people who are not using the bike lane and riding on the sidewalks.
Yeah, that's an abomination too. Sorry.
Oh, I almost got run over yesterday coming out of
Take a lady off
St.
horse.
Joe's Church. Motorized bicycles, and they drive them on the sidewalk. They got a bike lane you could drive a trailer truck down.
Oh my
That's
God.
my gripe for today.
No.
My excitement today is that you're on. And your career now, how long have you been there in New York?
Bleh. What, 12 years?
Wow.
I
You
can't
know,
do
it seems like, honest to God, and probably because I'm old, but it seems like just not that long ago you went down there. We saw your mom and said, oh, Chelsea's in New York.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly feels that way. And like but getting all the, New York hardens you. I talked to it definitely does. I'm really grateful that it did though. you know, because it really helped me come out of my shell. It doesn't always work for people, but you know, there'll be times I'll be walking. I walk by my old college, and or I walked by the garden where I did my first Shakespeare play in New York, and I'll be like, wow, that feels like it was 8 years ago, and when it was 12 years ago, or it feels like it was yesterday, or I feel, you know, God, I bet. I feel like how much I've grown because of that place and because of my family. And now what's absolutely wonderful is that the arts and like film and television that is happening, of course, theater, but like film and television that's happening in the Berkshires. Like I'm getting hired to come shoot in the Berkshires. Like I'm in the Berkshires for jobs, like for movies and stuff. So really, really great. It's a great excuse to come home, and it's wonderful. That's the thing that's up next that I'm actually still shooting. It's called The Coo Hatch, and my little brother Dylan's on it, who just had a baby. Dylan just had a baby.
I know. We saw it.
Oh, you did?
We were at the stationery factory.
Yeah.
And we saw your mom, and that's I said, well, I got to get a hold of Chelsea. I want to get her on because I'm doing this series. That gonna sporadic through the summer because there'll be a lot of you know free time for kiddo and replays because so many people and you know this far better than I they have a dream but they don't have I don't want to say their parents aren't encouraging their parents are frightening the parents are frightened for the child you had encouraging parents you know, Diana Quetty, she had Michael Fabrizio. When you start looking at the people who have left and made it, or some have stayed here and made it, you know, do a lot of stuff with Barrington and Shakespeare. And but I want people and parents and grandparents and people who really have a dream. You're only going to be young once. You're only going to be here once, God willing. I don't want to come back. If I
do, I want to come back. That's funny.
but chase your dream. Don't be, you know, the cemetery's got tons of headstones there. You know what's engraved on them? What a coulda, shoulda.
Yeah. No, you only got this one life. Do what you want with it.
Yeah. And live in, be happy. You know, my father-in-law, God rest his soul, he loved the outdoors. He was trained as a tree surgeon out of the Stockbridge School.
That's cool. Tree surgeon.
Yeah, but the Depression hit. So he had to take a job. And the job was in the GE. And he said to me, like what you're doing, because I hate it every day I walk through those gates.
Yeah.
And you love, obviously, you love what you're doing. It's demanding, but you love what you're doing.
Gotta be, you know, gotta be pounding the pavement constantly and exhausting myself so that it's enough money to survive. Because again, just like the cutting programs in the schools, you know, they don't pay very much for theater. That's kind of why in film and television too. So thank God. And people always ask, well, can you choose one? Choose one. I'm like, no, it's all a part of who I am. There's
And quite candidly, you've been successful in all of them.
Like I have to play. I have to play the clarinet for an audition, and then later on, I'm going to be headbanging Aerosmith on stage for my show. Like you never know what you're going to do in a day.
Yeah, and each thing that you do, I go back to my friend Rocco. Each thing that you do sharpens your skills.
It's true. It's true. You know? Yes. Yes.
I just you are one of the very special people in our life, Roseanne and I, because we think so much of your both mom and dad. They were both at the stationery fair with the baby. Yeah.
That's quite a special little baby. I'm really
So before we go, what's in the future? You're coming back here to do something.
Yep. I'm working with for the Coo Hatch movie. I'm working with Mark Kelso up in Richmond to record some songs that I'll sing on for the feature film album.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which would be great. So keep, I'm sure we'll have like a premiere of The Beacon early next year for the Kuhatch. Yeah, and then
Send me
yeah.
the upfront promo stuff and I'll get it to you. I'll start promoting
So Girls Who
it.
Want opens in Manhattan off Broadway May 16th, runs through June 9th on 17th and 5th. I'm the lead of that and I'm directing it, so that's
What is
crazy.
it again? I'm sorry.
Called Girls Who Walked on Glass.
Girls Who Walked on Glass.
Can go on girlswhowalkedonglass.com and find out all about it. And then after that, I have another couple of plays in the work that, in another movie that I can't tell you about yet.
Okay.
That's very exciting. Bishop's Cove will be out very soon. That's a horror movie. And yeah, everything's just absolute madness. You can keep updated with me. I'm an influencer, I guess, so I'm trying to influence people for good, for change, especially for animals through Instagram. You can find me at chelsea.lesage or then chelseylesage.com, where you can just keep up. I should actually update that, but where you will be able to see everything I am doing. Yes.
Yeah, because I think now with this, and so many, I told you before, some people, we drive to Wasaic, we park the car, we get on the train, we get off at Grand Central, we watch a play, we get back on a train to Grand Central, we go back to, and we're not the only ones. A lot of people do that.
I know people who commute to the city for work every single day from the Berkshires. It's mad. It's nuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. More and more since COVID.
Oh yeah. Definitely. I live outside of Manhattan right now. I live right on the water in this beautiful little town right over the Connecticut border. I don't want people to stalk me, so I'm not going to say what town.
No, don't say word.
But
But
it's great. I'm looking at the ocean right now from my office. And it takes me like 35 minutes on the Metro North to get into the city. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
yeah, and let's face it, let's give the credit where credit's due to Metro North. That's what we take, from Wasaic. Metro North, if they say they're leaving at 9:54, do not be there at 9:55 because they're gone.
You're gonna have to chase them down to 10 mile. That's what you're gonna have to do. We've done that. We have done that. We have missed the train. We've seen it pull away, and my mother has just floored it to get to 10 Mile River to try and beat the train.
The future of for all of us is, just stay with the stay the course.
Yeah.
You've lived through COVID. What was the hardest part of just getting through COVID?
Getting through COVID, not being able to have work, and it was so hard for us gig workers because the unemployment thing, it took like 9 months. I wouldn't have been able to continue to afford to live in Manhattan anyway. So thank God I broke my leg and had to live with mom for in a way.
Yeah.
She took care of me. Yeah, thank God for that woman.
Well, my Irish mother had a saying, and you just emphasized it. And the saying was, quite honestly, an ill wind blows some good fate.
I like that.
Yeah. And the ill wind was you broke your leg. The good fate was you lived with mom. And
Yeah.
to a really, I know a couple of not one's local, one's from a colleague of mine, who's their kiddos, they had to move back home.
It happens. It happens. It doesn't mean they can't try again. It doesn't mean
Oh
because
no. Yeah, I think some of them have, some of them are back.
the culture is great in the Berkshires that they can, like you said, you can make it there in the Berkshires. Have such a good career at WTF, Shakes and Co., Barrington, you name
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, and there's so many places and in the school systems, and I say this to parents and grandparents and kiddos. If you're at all interested in anything you've heard on this program to deal with drama, music, whatever, follow it up in school. Get the base. Chelsea will tell you, Shakespeare and Company, they come to Taconic every year. If excuse me, get involved with them.
That they didn't. They went to Pittsfield High School this year. They didn't go to Taconic. It's gone.
Oh, they didn't. Oh, wow.
No, but hopefully it'll come back soon. Because I tell you what, how many kids need that program? Just
Oh,
the most.
that I can't. That program, I go back a long time with Tony and all those people way back. And now Alan, I think the world of Alan. I do anything to promote Shakespeare, and I will close sign off with this. Many years ago, we were talking about Shakespeare, and I said, excuse me, Shakespeare, I wouldn't go to Shakespeare and Company with a gun to my head. Well, the person told me, excuse me.
You're doing great, Bill.
Thanks. The person said to me, Shakespeare was never meant to be read, because that's how we learned it in school. Mm-hmm. Shakespeare was meant to be acted. So I took the person up and I went to Shakespeare and Company. And I left there a firm believer, blown away by what real Shakespearean actors can deliver. And I've been a proponent of Shakespeare and Company ever since. So,
yep.
Chelsea, you've been a wonderful guest. I wish you the very best. And like I said, if you ever need anybody to portray a dead body, call me.
All right.
Or somebody to play a fat, bald-headed guy. Thank you very much. And to my listeners and my viewers and all the people, follow your dreams. Don't let any – one of the worst things you can do is hang around with negative people.
Correct.
You got to be out there with the people that are swinging the bat. They may not always hit the ball, but they're swinging the bat. Mm-hmm. Chelsea, you're the best. Don't forget to send this to your mom. I will too. God bless and take care of each other. Why, you ask, very easily. Each other, that's all that we have. And the more people that you can take care of and link up with, the better off your life will be. You're the best, Chelsea. Take care. Thank you so much.
Bye.
See you when you're up. Call me when you're up here.
I will. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Thank you.